Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thanks for your help. Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Is the microphone working? No? Is it working now? Is it working better? Excellent. We have to use microphones because what we're doing is recording this whole session. So if anybody wants to ask any questions from the audience, which hopefully you do, then please wait for a microphone to be handed to you and then ask the question, because we're going to record everything and then edit it down so people can access it later. But we're not live streaming this today. You will not be seen on camera, just to let you know. But obviously, if you do ask a question, then you will be heard. So everybody is fully informed. If you do have an issue with being heard, then don't ask a question. That's basically it. I think we'll start. Thank you very much, everybody, for being here. There was a few more people registered, but it looks as if they might not be arriving. First of all, everybody's got a coffee that wants a coffee. Yes. Second thing is, it feels very strange to be wearing this headset again after many years, because this just reminds me of my days and years of teaching body pump and body combat. So if I kick into some body combat moves at any moment, I'll just be having flashbacks to Lancaster circa 1998 or something like that. So hopefully you all know why you're here this morning. Thank you very much for being here. It's been a while in getting this arranged, and a couple of cancellations and reschedules of this has had to happen. But finally, we've made it here, and we're going to talk about Talent Boost at JYU. We've got kind of like a full couple of hours planned. Who knows what's going to happen, because we're going to give the stage to a few people and let them run free with it. So we may be here for 30 minutes, or we may be here for 3 hours and getting kicked out. But just as a warning, the School of Wisdom are going to be here at 11:30. So we either lock the doors and don't let them in, or we have to be out of here by 11:30 to let the wise people in here. This is basically what we've got planned for the next couple of hours. Hopefully we've met and gret each other, and we're going to have a few opening words from myself, from Pepe, and then we're going to kick into the Talent Boost program as it looks at JYU. Then talk about the sub-projects for Talent Boost, and there's 5 of those sub-projects that you're going to learn about, hopefully. And then hopefully have a nice question and answer session and an open discussion at the end of the session. This is a relaxed atmosphere. We're not here to lecture you or teach you or anything like that. We're here to have a discussion with you and an open floor discussion. Bilingual session, or if Pepe wants to be trilingual, then we can obviously use Swedish as well. It's casual, open format. At any moment where you have a question popping into your mind, just please pop your hand up, ask the question, but just remember to ask it into the microphone so that the good people who are watching the recording can hear your question. And discuss with each other, discuss with us. We're here to answer questions, we're here to ask each other questions as well, because this is an ongoing process and we don't exactly know exactly where we are at the moment, where we're going to. It's a project, so maybe we'll get lots of ideas from you who are here this morning as well. So we're going to introduce the Talent Boost team, who we are, what we do, where we work, what our responsibilities are within Talent Boost, but then also it'll be good if you can introduce yourselves to us and to each other, just so we know who's in the room and everybody knows who is here. So I suppose I'll start. I'm Michael Ormshaw. I work in TOIMO, the Division of Policy and Planning. That's where I'm based. It's kind of like this department of the university where all the misfits are. And I'm one of those misfits. I'm responsible for the Talent Boost Subproject 5, which you're going to hear about in about an hour's time. And that subproject is responsible for developing a talent hub in the city and the region. And I'll leave it there for now. I'm English. I'm from Britain. Apologies if you don't understand my accent. I'll try and tone it down a little bit. But I'm from the Northwest, and, you know, I am what I am. If you don't understand anything I say, just ask me to speak English properly. Who wants to go next?
Yes, you do.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. We are the sub-project number one. So I'm Heli Syrjälä from Marketing and Communications. I'm marketing specialist, and international master's degree programs are really close to my heart and my desk.
My name is Riikka Vanhanen. I work at the Student and Academic Services, and I'm responsible for the development of international student recruitment at the University of Jyväskylä. I'm also a team leader for the support services for internationalization team.
Hello everyone, my name is Emilia Tolvanen. I work as a coordinator and team leader in the international student admissions team. I coordinate the admission process to our English taught master's programs, and I'm also part of the sub-project one in Talent Boost.
Thank you, Michael. Hello, everyone. I'm Anu Ojala, and I'm from the Career Services of the University of Jyväskylä and in the sub-project 2, developing the working life skills and competencies and connections of our international degree students.
Juhani Moisio from MOVI, Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, working with Anu in the sub-project 2 regarding the working life skills and competences. And we'll be sharing our interesting slides within a few minutes, so just hold on tight.
Okay, good morning everyone. My name is Marita Häkkinen and I work as a coordinator in the team of international admissions at COOPA. And this is my colleague Tuija.
Good morning everyone. My name is Tuija Lehtonen. I work at the I work at the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication. And we come from the sub-project 3. I'm coordinating it together with Marita. And our work title is developing the learning and study paths for international immigrants.
And basically, I think the reason why it's difficult to remember the name of our sub-project is that it deals with Integra trainings coordinated by MOVI and then also SIMHE services. And these all have been actually existed before the Talent Boost program. But we will tell a little bit more about these activities later on in our presentation. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Hanna Kiviranta and I also work for MOVI, and short and sweet, I also work for the sub-project too.
And I'm Fergal Carlin, also from MOVI, English teacher, and in sub-project too. I'm from Ireland originally, so if they're struggling with your accent, good luck. Who are you? Where am I?
Take the mic again. Sorry. This is now, yeah, as you can see, a lot of people working in various projects, and here I am again. This time I'm presenting sub-project 4, and my colleagues from International Staff Services and MOVI could not make it today, but I'll be presenting sub-project 4, which focuses on the services for the international staff and their spouses. So I'm sitting on several chairs today. That's cool. But now, Mike.
Okay, great. It would be really nice if you all could introduce yourselves as well. And I suppose that you should do it into a microphone so that the people in the recording can know who is here in the room. So I will pass the microphone around and just say who you are, where you're from, what you do at the university, and then, you know, tell us a joke or whatever. It's fine.
You don't have to. Joke. Hello, I'm Mark Thompson. I'm from the Department of Music, Arts and Culture Studies. And I'm leading the master's program in music and science. I'm thinking of a joke, but maybe later.
Hi, everyone. My name is Frank. I coordinate the Africa Networks, which is part of the global strategy programs. And I'm very interested in learning this. Interestingly, everybody that I've been looking for is sort of here today. So I hope I'll be able to get to hear a lot from them. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anna Pylväläinen, and I work with Marita in Simhi Services, so supporting immigrants in higher education in Finland. And the majority of my clients are Ukrainian, so I work in Ukraine project. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rose Matilainen from Chemistry Department, and we will have new international national program coming in circular economy.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Mahnaz Shirdal from the Department of Language and Communication Studies, and I'm interested in helping international students to get integrated into the society. And I've had a project idea that I have been discussing with Michael, and he invited me to be here and hear about all the projects that are going on now.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nina Omshaw, and I work in the support services for the internationalization, and particularly for the Faculty of Information Technology. I'm an international coordinator, and I've been working with our international master's degrees for years. Also part of the subgroup one. Nice to meet you all.
Hello, my name is Maria-Sofia Halttu, and I work as a study secretary in the International Student Admissions Team.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kirsi Torkkola. I'm colleague of Nina in the department, in the Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sanna Väisänen from the International Office of the University of Jyväskylä, and I work here as a project manager for our Fordham Alliance network, which is a European universities network with nine European universities.
Hello, my name is Päivi Iikkonen. I come from the Department of Language and Communication Studies. I'm a researcher and a teacher interested in migration, mentoring, and things like that, integration. Just here to listen and learn.
Okay, thanks, everybody. It's always interesting to put a microphone in front of somebody and ask them who they are and what they do, because that's when people forget who they are and what they do. What's my name? Where do I work? What's my job? It's crazy. We do this every day, and then suddenly a microphone is on our hand. It's like, I work for the... Anyway, thanks very much. So we're going to move on to have general opening words and put things into context of what Talent Boost is, especially what Talent Boost is here at the university. And then we'll move into the sub-projects that you've just heard about from the sub-project managers and teams. So first of all, we talk about opening words. Then what we need to do first of all is to talk about what Talent Boost is on a national level. And I really don't know what you know about Talent Boost at the moment, or what kind of level of understanding you have of what Talent Boost is as a national program. But no offense, I'm just going to presume ignorance. I'm just going to start from the basics and say exactly what Talent Boost is as a national program, as a governmental program. And then that will put it into context and set the foundation for the rest of the morning, I think, because you need to know how we do here relates to what's happening on a national level, I think, to put things into context. So that's what I'll do. Do you have any questions before I start talking about Talent Boost, or do you want to give any wisdom yourself? Because we are wise people as well, not only those people who are following us. They are obviously wiser than us, but we are wise people as well. So if you do have any words of wisdom at any point, then just please feel free to say those words. So the National Talent Boost Program, it's a governmental program. It's coordinated by two different ministries. It's coordinated as a cross-administrative immigration program by the Ministry of Economic Affairs and the Employment Ministry as well. So the Ministry of Employment and Economic Affairs and the Ministry of Education. So those two ministries take responsibility for the coordination of Talent Boost on a national level. The actual implementation of Talent Boost on a national level has been devolved to Business Finland. So Business Finland basically are the administrators who are doing this on behalf of the ministries. And then obviously Business Finland works closely with all the actual actors on a national level. So those actors are coming from municipalities, from higher education institutions, from the private sector, from the public sector, and also from the third sector, from NGOs as well. There are clear objectives of the National Talent Boost Programme, and those clear objectives are there on the left-hand side of the screen. There's three clear objectives of saying Finland needs to become an internationally attractive place to work, study, and to stay, and to live. And we can debate that for hours. What is an attractive place to work and to study and to do everything else and to live? The second main objective is to look at employers or potential employers and make sure that they are willing and able to recruit international talent or international people or foreigners or whatever term you want to use, which again we can discuss for probably about 2 hours of what is a foreigner and what's an international talent. The third main objective of the Talent Boost Programme is to look at the expertise of international specialists and make sure that they are not only in work, but they are in work which makes the best use of their talents and their skills and their abilities, so that then they can be decision makers in the future and they can be part of the future development of internationalisation of Finland as a whole. So we are not only talking about getting people into the workplace, but we are talking about using the skills and abilities and the talents of the international population that are already here and that are coming into the country and being attracted to the country. Apart from those hard objectives, there are some soft targets and goals as well, which is, to quote the ministries, Talent Boost also aims to stimulate discussion about the openness of the Finnish labour market, about workplace attitudes, about non-discrimination, the diversity effect, and the willingness of international specialists to stay and find employment in Finland. And they also affect general attractiveness of Finland in their own eyes and in the eyes of the international population. So again, that is a huge statement that that involves and encompasses a lot of things and a lot of factors, which again, hopefully we can discuss as we go through this morning. Talent Boost supports the employment-related objectives of the government programme, and that is true of today, and it's been true since 2017 when this Talent Boost project and programme was first started. So the government administration in 2017 first recognised that there is going to be an employment shortage in the future. There is already an employment or a talent pool shortage in Finland, and that's only going to get worse as the population demographics change over the next 10, 15, 20, 50 years. The population, as we all know, is falling. The work age population is falling. And currently, if you look at the statistics, then population growth is only being stimulated through immigration at the moment. So birth rates are falling, and that is especially true of the work age population group. So we need people coming into Finland, and if we need people coming to Finland, that means we need to make sure that they are attracted here and they are welcomed here, they are integrated properly. Integration is another word which I don't really like, but again, we can discuss that. And they are made to feel welcome here. But one thing that I want to make sure that happens is that they feel as if they belong here. So it's that sense of belonging which we are trying to create through the Talent Boost program, and that involves lots of different things. I know many of you may have already seen this, but it summarizes quite well what Talent Boost is. If you look at this little diagram, then what we're trying to do is attract talent here, utilize the expertise that is already here in Finland, and then make sure that we are an inclusive place. So an inclusive workplaces, inclusive society, an inclusive place to live, to work, to play, to live your life. How we do that is using the talent attraction model as a basis. So we build a reputation on a national level, we build a reputation on a regional and local level as a place that is welcoming and a place which is international. And that will attract people here, hopefully. And then we have global programs in place which attract people here from specific areas of the world. And then we recruit those people well and we orientate them well and we make sure that they are welcome in the workplace. Then we make sure that there's proper soft landing and welcoming services available for people from all over the world. And then we make sure that people are feeling truly integrated and they belong here. And then we go through that talent attraction model and we tweak it and we make sure that it's working and we get feedback from our customer groups and make sure that they are getting what they need. And then ultimately what we're doing is at the bottom with all those joining hands is creating an ecosystem And everybody has to have an ecosystem these days. So if you have a project, you create an ecosystem, and that's basically what's been told. That's what we have been told to do in the Talent Boost program, is to create an ecosystem on a local level, on a regional level, and on a national level. How that is administered at the moment is through several groups and networks. So there is a National Talent Boost Network, which meets on a monthly basis virtually. And that involves hundreds of people, different actors from different walks of life, from different institutions and organisations, higher education institutions, from the cities, from private sector. And we all get together on a monthly basis and discuss the latest themes and topics in Talent Boost. Then there is the Talent Boost Network Days, which happen twice per year. There's a Talent Boost Summit, which takes place annually and is usually targeted towards industry and businesses more than anything else. Then there is the TEM Talent Boost Days, which happen annually as well, which is specifically talking about that ministry's individual input into Talent Boost. Then OKRAM Talent Boost Days annually. And then we have the Higher Education Institutions Talent Boost Networks, which is really interesting because the Universities of Applied Sciences have had their own network running for over a year now, meeting on a regular basis. And I don't know if you know this, but the University of Applied Sciences have taken a slightly different route into actually how they do Talent Boost on a local level and on an institutional level. Only last week did we meet as a higher education institution, as a universities network group, alongside the Universities of Applied Sciences, and working with them and learning from them. And then, as a splinter group, we formed our own network. And that's going to be an ongoing meeting on a regular basis. So now we have a voice as a university and as a group, and we have a network in place where we can advocate for Talent Boost within the universities. So this meeting here this morning has come at a really interesting time for us, because what is said here this morning can feed into that network and have a national implication. So quickly, before I welcome Pepe onto stage, Talent Boost in context of JYU, just to put a bit of historical context into the room. Talent Boost is part of the internationalization program and global networks, as Frank just mentioned about the global networks that we have. It's split into two. So it's part of the strategic funding and the agreement between the ministry and the higher education institutions. And that funding is split into two parts. There's the global pilot networks, and then there's the Talent Boost activities. And as part of the Talent Boost activities, that is how we implement these things here at the university on an institutional level. Again, at the bottom left of the screen there are some concrete goals that we've been given, and they are not exactly up to date, because with the new governmental administration in place, they have kind of indicated, is the softest way to put it, that those goals might not be effective anymore. But we are still working towards these goals of tripling the number of international students in our institutions, and then making sure that 75% of those students stay and go into a workplace. And I reiterate that when we say enter into the workplace, it's into a workplace which is related to their specialisation. That's the actual wording within the documentation. One final thing I will say is that in the gold box at the top there, is that every university can do this however they want to do it. There is no set model to do this. We've not been given a template to work to. Each university and University of Applied Sciences can implement Talent Boost in whatever way they want to do that. And the way that we are doing it is what you're going to hear about this morning. And that is it. So, with no further ado, do you have any questions, Frank? Go for it.
Yeah, just checking that the Talent Boost program funding ends next year. And so between now and, if that's the case, between now and end of next year, maybe that's what you're planning to talk about, but I think it's late,
yes,
in a sense.
That's right. The current funding period is up to the end of 2024. So all the projects that you're hearing about today are currently running on a timeline of up to the end of 2024. That's correct. Because it is tied to the strategic funding for the university, and the strategic funding period was 21 to 24. So, you're going to see this later anyway, but you've just heard from the project managers who are actually in charge of these five sub-projects, and that's what we're going to run through this morning after we've had some words from our director of MOBI, the Centre for Multilingual Academic Communication. I have to have that written on the screen in front of me because I always get those words in the wrong order. But we welcome Pepe Dalas onto stage. And just to give a disclaimer, anything happened from this point forward.
Thank you. And that's true. And I think there are so many people from MOBI here that we all know the problem with that long name. So that's why we just keep saying MOBI. Thank you. I was trying to think what to say, but first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the work you're doing, because like Mike said, there is no template for talent boost in the in higher education, and UVascular is one of the few universities where talent boost is actually organized in such a rigid, effective way. And it seems to be something that will help us beyond the funding period. And I think that is my one main point to make, because I mean the world is changing quite a lot, and the people in this room still are the people that have the word international somehow connected to their work tasks. And this is not normalization then, because then it is a group of people that know that this is something that we should be doing, this is very important, this is something that we aim at achieving, but we can't do that unless we are able to systemically get it normalized into our thinking. And two points that we at the moment are working on. Our new rector, as you've heard, is very much oriented towards these goals. And he's actually, in a very good way, trying to widen that idea, who's who are the people that we want in Finland. So it's not only the talents. Mike, you already said that there is a bit of a controversy about who is international, who is a talent, and all that, and how we understand internationalization. There have been many projects, programs here at the university, and I think we always get stuck with the concept of international. Who's international? Who are the people that we need? Who are the people that we work with? We are doing a lot of attempt at least to kind of widen that idea, and the strategy that we are now working at the university is one of our key tools, along with the talent boost that goes across the funding periods, and it doesn't concern with the governmental ideas about the importance of these things, but it is what we think is important. And that's why I urge every single person in this room and anybody watching to think how this needs to be implemented in our strategic goals, because those are the ones that prioritize things. Those are the areas where we want to fund things and so on and so forth. And we already have now discussion in place to focus on and finish as a second language national task, where we would bring that whole idea of inclusion and equity and the idea of diversity, that we have to support diverse society and not look at the ethnic background, for instance, of people, but just think that we need to be more multicultural, not thinking that we need these people to do the work for us that we no longer want to do, for instance. And I was watching the TV yesterday, and there was Tehu, the National Health Service of what's Tehu? I've got no idea. But it is there for the healthcare professionals trade union. And they were talking that we need these people to work for us. And this kind of a discourse, I think, is really harmful. The idea of 75% of these people wanting to stay in Finland, why would they? Why in the current climate, for instance, and things like that. So we have to go beyond that kind of a discourse. People working with Integra, for instance, know that there is a lot of talent in the country. And we're kind of bypassing those people. We're just aiming at certain groups of people that we think would bring us added value. But we need to find some sort of a balance, that there has to be an added value for every single person. And then we also need to think that international in Finland cannot mean somebody who's not from Finland, because those people are not international. They just come from a different country than the Finns originally do. but they have their own kind of attitudes, ideas, and things like that. So now we're focusing on a very tiny group of people and not thinking of the whole community that we should be looking at. And the strategy that we are now working on looks into that kind of a thinking. And thinking of also, because we need the students, we need the people, but they are not tools. But we need to have talent boost types of tools to give us structures, because this is a systemic thing, like Mike said, that it works on many levels, and it has to, all everything we do needs to run through those levels. And now it seems that our international master's programs are not attracting enough students, for instance. So yes, what to do about that is not only the problem of those programs and people running those programs. The music bilingual programs is a very good opening. Trying to think that international doesn't mean that you have to come from somewhere else, but having these people work together and not looking at where you come from and what are the languages that you speak, but have these people just work together in an academic context. And I think that is the idea in many of these talent boost subgroups as well. Uvascula is very important in this cooperation. And I personally, I live in Tampere, and I just see so much that's being done with the university. So that's why the work that Mike, you're doing with the city of Jyväskylä is really crucial, because it's a systemic whole. It's a whole kind of attractiveness of the city of Jyväskylä, of the University of Jyväskylä, and the study programs. And I think that's also where we need to do a bit of work. Nina, you've been doing a lot of work with the IT, changing the trying to live in the moment with the programs, but that's a heavy way of doing it. So I don't know if we need more kind of generic programs where you do have a vision of the future, that there is some sort of a future. We now look at the students that we attract to Jyväskylä without really looking at what happens after they graduate, for instance. Fergal, Hanna, you're working on these new module ideas of bringing these kind of competencies to these study programs. Many of the study programs say that, no, we can't take this because our program is full. What is a full program, I ask? Why are the curricula at this university always full? Why don't we really take a serious look at what we are doing, what we aim at doing? We have to be able to have some sort of a vision of future for every single person here at the university, both working here but also studying here. And for 2 weeks now I have that title, and after that I will be moving to rector's office and start working with the whole university community to work on study programs, for instance, that would attract more people. Rose, you have a good position with that circular economy, because it's interesting. Education used to be really interesting here, but we have to live in the moment, but then look beyond. What happens? What happens with Finland, with NATO? What happens with Finland? Now many of our EU professionals are retiring. How do we react to that? Now we're kind of not proactively reacting. We are kind of looking that this is something that we should have done. So I'm really encouraging each one of us to think ahead and look at things that we need to do and not look at the funding only. Because if we have good ideas, there's always funding available. But if we just need to repeat what we've done, or just make these little touches on things that we're already doing, nobody's really interested in us. So I think there is a momentum now, and Jyväskylä has all the bits and pieces that we need. We have so many good things going. We just need to now bring them together. Talent Boost is a perfect example of bringing these ideas together. Now we need to normalize those and look beyond the governmental support and work on our strategy, work on our thinking here together, and then work on the individual ideas and goals. And through that kind of systemic thinking, really build a university that is Jyväskylä, University of Jyväskylä, not with an international word in it, but it's a University of Jyväskylä that is multicultural, it's equal for anybody, and it's based on the idea of diversity as a kind of norm and not something that is added on through projects. So this would be my opening words, while thanking you again for the work you're doing. But we need to get a lot more people involved, and we need to kind of normalize this thinking that you're doing now in Talent Boost. Did I say too many things that were something that you were not expecting? But this was just kind of on the top of my head that I was thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Peppi. Thank you very much. Because we wanted to get the right person doing this, and we thought, well, Peppi's the right person to do this. And as she's just proved, she is the right person to do this, because that message was kind of inspirational for us all in the room to say that in the long term, we don't even want to recognize that we are international. We just are. And that's what we're aiming for. Hopefully this Talent Boost project until the end of next year will be the kickoff for that process. So we shall move on. Remarkably, we're not that much behind time. So let's see how we can move forward. If I can ask my colleagues from Subproject 1 to come up onto the stage, then we will start the process of moving through the 5 subprojects of Talent Boost at JYU. As I said earlier, if you have any questions at any point, then please just pop your hand up or just say something and ask questions at any moment, because we are here to have a discourse rather than just to lecture at you. So, without further ado, Subproject 1.
Thank you, Michael, and good morning again to everyone. My name is Riikka Vanhanen, and with my colleague Heli Syrjälä, we'll be presenting the sub-project 1, development of the recruitment process of international degree students. Here are the topics we'll be covering today within the, hopefully, next 15 minutes. So briefly, you can just see how we are positioned in the whole Talent Boost entity at the University of Jyväskylä, and then we'll discuss the objectives and measures of our project. Then we'll talk a little about the dimensions of international student recruitment. We'll focus on the terminology, what actually means recruitment, and how do we understand that here at the University of Jyväskylä. Then we'll move on to more concrete measures. What have we actually done within this work in the past 2 years? And that's basically it. Here you can see the whole entity again, and we are representing indeed the sub-project number 1. And this is how we address the Talent Boost objectives, is that our main task is to attract more international degree students to our university and to boost study-based immigration. So that's our main task. And we work in very close cooperation and dialogue with all the other sub-projects. For instance, if we look at the sub-project 2, which is about enhancing the working life skills and employability of international students and graduates in Finland, that is something that we need as a content, as a message when we approach the prospective students. So we want to create possible futures for our students. So we don't want to recruit them just for 2-year master's degree programs, but we want to create a vision that you can actually stay here in Jyväskylä in Finland, and we have several opportunities for enhancing your employability within the job market. But this is just an example of the ways we cooperate with the other projects, and all of them in cooperation are super important. And it is indeed, as Peppi said, a really good project entity, and we all need each other. Here again about the structure, we are part of the project entity. I work as a project manager for this sub-project together with Heli. We are running the project. And we have also a project group, and some of the members here in the audience today are part of the project group. But within the 2 years that we've been working together, we don't perhaps in the future just focus on the project group as such, but we've been able to actually establish and settle certain work groups, larger communities, bring together, for instance, all our international master's degree programs to together discuss these topics and to advance these objectives. And it's not just a project, so we want to emphasize that this is our daily job. for us and for the large community. So indeed, it's a great thing that with Talent Boost we have a boost for these activities. But indeed, this is something that has been done, international student recruitment and marketing, also before Talent Boost, and it will continue no matter what the next program will be called. And here are the objectives, first of all, of the international student recruitment sub-project and the work in general, as I emphasized. We hope that within our work and doing this project, international student recruitment at JYU has clear objectives with systematic follow-up and evaluation practices. So we heard about the national level objectives of tripling the number of international degree students by 2030. And that's great. And we know that we want to attract more international degree students to Finland and to our university. But we are still lacking the exact numeric objectives for our university. And the clearer the objectives are, the better we can also measure the results of our activities. So I think that's super important. Well, we hope that at the end of the day, international student recruitment is a process within which activities and services are internally well organized and then systematically and purposefully implemented. It is super important for us that student recruitment appears a smooth process for our applicants. So no matter what we do in the background, in the back office, it should be as smooth as possible, as quick and efficient as possible for the applicants. And speaks a unified language throughout the process. I mentioned the messages about the enhancing employability and all that, and about international Jyväskylä. The message we send out when attracting the students should be consistent, and as I will be highlighting, student recruitment is management of expectations. So it's important that no matter who is doing the recruitment and marketing outside Finland, we send a unified, solid message. And what are the measures then to reach these objectives? First of all, setting, following and evaluating the objectives. As I mentioned, there's still some work to do with regard to the objectives, but hopefully we will have a clear vision about like what we're actually aiming at. Mapping the operational and competitive environment. Of course, we need to know what's going on in the world and who are we competing against within Finland and internationally. We have to define the recruitment process from the perspectives of the student's journey and JYU tasks. This is part of being able to implement the process purposefully, and you will see an example of that in a short file. And defining the division of work, that's tied to that as well. Building a yearly schedule for recruitment and marketing, that's something that we've already done, part of the systematic activities again. And implementing continuous communication and marketing activities. So indeed, we're doing this as a continuing activity, not just once a year, just before the application round, for example. Then this illustration about the student's journey, student's path. There are several similar visualizations of the student's path, and we have chosen this one, and we always present this whenever talking about the international student recruitment and its dimensions. It is super important that we understand what the prospective applicant and future student goes through when considering a study place in another country, in Finland and in Jyväskylä in this case. So the student's journey is as a basis for our activities when we start planning them, how to address the international student's information and service needs. So we look at the steps that the student takes along the way. So there are several different phases that the student goes through. And then as a university, we should be able to act efficiently to answer the needs of the student or the applicant in every single phase. And each of those steps is a possible turning point for the student or the applicant. They first got interested, But if they realize that, no, when browsing the website, I actually find a more interesting option in another university, of course, they don't come back. Or if they proceed to our academic evaluation process, enter an interview or another evaluation practice in the process and realize that this is not for me. I met the people via Teams discussion or interview and they didn't convince me. That's another possible phase for the applicant to turn down, Jyväskylä as an option. So it's not just about attracting the students or the applicants to apply to the University of Jyväskylä, but it's important to go through the whole phase and to make sure that those applicants actually choose the study place, stay here, and finally graduate. So once they graduate, then we can talk about successful recruitment. We have no problem attracting international applicants. So this is something that I want to make clear. We received over 5,000 applications in January 2023. We even got more eligible applications and applicants in the process. Where we struggle is in the enrollment phase. And this is not just a problem for the University of Jyväskylä. It's a national phenomenon. We know it's a trend and we can look at the statistics and we know that this happens every year. There are several reasons for international students to turn down the offer. They have applied to other universities internationally and in Finland, but we really need to look into the reasons why they turn down the offered place. So the competition is there, not at the very beginning of the funnel, so in so-called cold marketing, reaching a wide audience, there is interest, but we just have to make sure that those in the future who are interested and apply would be realistically actually more interested in accepting the study place and starting the studies. So a lot of work to do there, but Heli will discuss some of the measures that we have already taken for the past 2 years to support this. Here are some approaches to recruitment. I mentioned the terminology. So I just want to highlight here that very often in when we talk about recruitment, people just think that, well, it's the marketing activities. It's the campaign that's now running. That's recruitment. It's not just that. Marketing, international marketing is part of international student recruitment, but overall it's a lot more. It's a long-term and systematically implemented practices throughout the student's journey, as we just saw. And hopefully it is based on strategic objectives set at the JYU level. It's an overarching service process engaging various actors within the university. Yes, we might be running the project, but we are not the ones implementing this, but it's all of you. So a lot of our colleagues, support services, international admissions plays a crucial role in the process in making it all happen. All the academic stuff in the programs, taking care of the academic evaluation and basically the education. So we are all needed in this process. We have to understand the service and information needs, as we discussed, and this is the most important thing. If you don't remember anything else from this, recruitment is management of expectations. So we need to be careful what we sort of promise or what kind of messages we send out at the very beginning when trying to attract the students so that the message is attractive but also accurate. So we cannot promise that they will find a job in Finland or in Jyväskylä, but we can promise, hopefully, and give concrete examples of the different ways, of the courses, of the services that we offer for our international students to enhance their employability. Yeah, it requires continuous assessment and analysis and development as any activity that is purposefully implemented in any organization, basically. Here are some concrete examples of the measures that we have taken within the past 2 years. As I mentioned earlier, international student recruitment and marketing has been done at the University of Jyväskylä also before 2021, but because Heli and I started 2 years ago in the way of this Talent Boost project entity creation, so we talk about the activities that we have been able to proceed within these 2 years. So joint development of the admission process is one of the most important things in the whole process. The responsible, basically, team, one of the most responsible teams in this, and the process owner is the international admissions and their staff who actually take care of this. But together we've been able to develop the process to make it smoother from the applicant's point of view. So the results of student selection are now published earlier than before. The whole process has been digitalized, which helps the applicants to apply more easily online. And we have also smoothened the scholarship process. We have developed the data and statistics tools to better support the recruitment process, to understand where we get students, and to basically data is the basis for all the decision making anyhow. So we've been creating new tools for that. And then towards data and fact-based planning and decision-making, active inquiries regarding the target setting at JYU. We've been doing that for the past 2 years. We'll continue to do that to get more clear objectives for the activities. We have renewed the scholarship program. We are in 2024. Now, for the first time, we have a new scholarship program where we offer only 50% scholarships for the applicants. This is a financially more stable model and hopefully... hopefully will help us in getting the sort of right applicants ready to get started with their studies. And then finally, one concrete activity which is really current this autumn is that we are about to establish cooperation with international education agents. This is something that basically all the universities internationally and all the universities in Finland already use as one of the tools in the international student recruitment. Up until this day, the University of Jyväskylä has not had this opportunity, but from this autumn onwards, hopefully we'll be able to cooperate with agents who will then hopefully bring us more motivated students to our international degree programs. And then Heli can continue about the concrete marketing measures for the 2024.
Yes, thank you, Riikka. So usually when I tell to anyone that I'm doing marketing, the idea is something like that I maybe take nice pictures, write some texts, send them to the ad agency and wait for a miracle to happen. But actually that's just top of the iceberg. Sorry, another way. This is the big picture. How does it look in my calendar? This is the annual plan, how we do marketing, and it's year-round marketing at JYU. So the actual campaign is just one piece of the full story. So as Riikka showed the student journey, my part of that is mostly from the discovering of discover to enrollment. So, but it doesn't end to that. But that's the where my work is mostly seen. But anyways, there is this orange line up there, and it says reach, engage, activate, and nurture. So those are the phases of marketing in JYU, and so, as Riikka already mentioned, we do quite well in reaching and engaging people and even activating them to apply to JYU. But the nurture phase is the difficult one. And first, in 2021, our focus was to in this activate point to get... eligible applicants, exactly. Sorry. But this year our focus is more in the nurture phase. We have done already a lot in the earlier years too in this phase, but and of course not all things are covered by marketing. It's impossible if we look at the big picture, but now we are putting even more effort to this nurture phase. So that we could not only get good applicants, not only get good students, but students that arrive to Finland and JYU. One of important resources is our own students. That's the last thing I want to mention, because we have student ambassadors from every faculty, and they are working as a part of marketing team every year. They are students. They are not marketing specialists, but they are with us to learn about marketing and communications, and they have the first-hand experience. How is it to come to Finland, to live here, to study in these programs? So that's why they are really important resource for us as marketing team, but also as the University of Jyväskylä. Thank you.
Any questions? Excellent. Let's move on. Thank you very much. Thanks. Frank.
So from the virtual fairs, I note that we have the regions, but Africa is missing. Could there be a reason that Africa is missing, or there's a way they are targeted separately? And then also just wanted to find out if you have a classification criteria for potential applicants to JYU, as in they're coming from different regions and contexts. Do we consider this context globally when we are tailoring marketing products for the different regions and more or less the entire ecosystem? Do we factor those through the various stages, application, enrollment, retention, loyalty, etc.
I try to remember all your questions. Just kidding. So about Africa, one thing is that we get a lot of applications from Africa already, even though we don't market there. So it's not like a forgotten area anyways. And another thing is that we have quite limited resources. And one thing we do in marketing, when we target different countries and areas, we need to see, that is some kind of a saving of resources that, for example, Study in Finland does this country brand marketing in certain countries, certain areas, and it's easier to market JYU there because we don't need to start from what is Finland. We can start what is Jyväskylä. So that's also, we need to be a bit tactic there because the resources are limited.
I'll just quickly add a few things. Well, you mentioned the budget. I think that's limited, unfortunately. So that's one of the main reasons. But then the statistics. I mentioned the importance of looking at the data. So we know, as Heli said, that we already get quite a few applicants from certain countries. And in some cases, that's a good thing. We know that, okay, we already get applicants from those countries. There's not much we still need to do. And they keep coming and they start the studies. Then we have certain countries where we get a bunch of applications, but the conversion rate is really poor. So that we know that certain countries, like a lot of active applicants, they send out applications, but and they are perhaps some of them are offered a study place, but they turn down the places. So that's also a message for us that they don't get into the country. Sometimes they turn down the place, or in some cases they don't get a residence permit. So these kinds of factors in the background, there are several more, but we don't have enough time to go through all of them, but we're happy to discuss that. But just to mention, there are several different factors affecting the decisions, how we use the limited budget, but we do not have like specific regions or strategic choices that we don't do marketing in certain countries. Currently, since we're lacking the more accurate objectives, we do marketing both in Europe and outside Europe as well.
Thanks. Do you have any recommendation or strategies for programs who would like to do their own marketing? For example, like sending emails to mailing lists or conferences within our more directly connected to our field, to our individual fields?
Usually, it's good that you send and share information. But of course, for example, our newsletter, it covers over 3,000 people, so we could share something also in those channels, in university social media channels, because the audience might be bigger. But those contacts are really important, and I think it's way to go. If any materials are needed, I will help. And what else I had on mind? Totally blackout. Sorry. I'll tell it to you later if it comes to my mind.
That's great. We can get back to these things at the end in the Q&A session as well, obviously. So if you have any questions in mind, then just make a note, and then hopefully we'll have time at the end of the session to answer those questions and have a discussion. Sanna.
Just as a comment to your question, maybe to how to recruit students to an individual master's degree program. I used to work in the Faculty of Sport and Health Sciences, and what we found quite effective was, first of all, to send always information to our exchange students, so who already had been here for a student exchange, for example, and then recruit or kind of inform them that, okay, now the application period for our master's degree program is open. So that was one good way to use those mailing lists for those former exchange students. And the other one, of course, is to approach colleagues in the conferences. And when academic people go to the conferences of their field, so they will meet their colleagues. And this might sound obvious, but sometimes people just don't remember that when they go to the scientific conference, for example, they are there to talk to their colleagues about their research and all that. But we have to be there to remind them that, hey, we also have these international master degree programs. Tell your colleagues about this, and that works quite nicely.
Thank you. I just want to thank Sanna for exactly the right points. These are the things we go through. We're right now meeting with all our international master's degree programs. We have individual meetings. Heli and I meet the groups in each program, and we go through all these steps. Through our support services for internationalization team, our international coordinators address our current and exchange students, and all these are taking place already. And one thing still, it's super great that programs are enthusiastic in promoting their own program, which is great. But I still want to emphasize the importance of the joint newsletter, because that's a tool for us to track also the numbers who open the email, where it's opened, and get some official statistics. If our 18 master's degree programs all do all things individually, obviously then we sort of lose the data. Of course, both activities and from different actors and are needed, but joint activities do have a purpose as well. And now we stop. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. So if we, without further ado, welcome the presenters for sub-project number 2. If you do have any further questions regarding marketing and communications, then keep them to the end and we'll discuss.
Okay. Hello, everyone. We are from sub-project 2. So we are going to talk about the developing the working life skills, knowledge and competencies in JYU.
Yes, we're part of the nurture. You guys were talking, so we're part of the nurture. How to get them, keep them here, and you know, show them that we do care about you guys.
Okay. So
if you're going to be a double act, which one's the straight man and which one's the okay? Well, you need two microphones because we can't keep you quiet.
Okay. Are you sure? Okay, so we are going to talk to you about JYU Working Life Pad. I actually have here labeled international students, but I could as well take it off, because this is something that we do with all of our students. And the things that we are doing, of course, everything in the students' working life path is based on the skills and knowledge that students gain in their academic disciplines, in their home disciplines. And then we provide things, activities, courses, which would provide students an opportunity to kind of find out what are their actual competencies, what are their interests and things like that. And then again, of course, one part, a big part of that is doing your thesis, building your expertise, perhaps being on an internship or participating on a training, and then the goal, graduation. But then, of course, we talk about employment, different kind of work opportunities, different kind of things that match your skill set, match your learnings, match the knowledge that you have. Then one big thing here is an entrepreneurship. If the students want to become an entrepreneur, self-employed, we have quite a lot of coaching related to that. And of course, in our university, we offer quite a lot of things to do after the graduation, so doctoral studies, post-graduation studies, and continuous learning studies after the graduation. And the thing that the sub-project 2 is doing, we are actually part of all these phases. We are developing the things that the faculties do. We are, for example, part of the curriculum design planning process. We offer different things. For example, Movi offers things related to the communication and languages already in the knowledge and skill phases. Our career services, we are heavily involved in this competence part. And of course, then again, there's a possibility for students to do collaboration theses with the employers or the companies. This depends quite largely on the discipline. Some of the disciplines are more academic, and there, of course, the working life skills come from the discipline-specific academic knowledge that's gained through the thesis project. But perhaps if we go further. So this is something that we in career services or in WOMVI, we are not doing this alone. So we are a community. So the aim here is with the multidisciplinary studies to foster responsible expert with impact. This is something that has been on the strategy of our university, and this is something that we do together with the faculty. So it's not alone the career services, neither it's alone MOVI, so it's in collaboration with the academic faculties. And then, of course, the second and very important aim in our work is recognize skills and competencies. And this goes two ways. So we work with the students so that they are able to recognize the skills and competencies and the knowledge they gain here and how they can utilize that when they enter the working life, how they can communicate or market that when they talk with the employers and are searching their first jobs. So we aim to get students an idea of their skills and competencies so that the student recognize their skills and competencies. But on the other way, we are talking, collaborating and even coaching the employers and local firms so that they are able to recognize what kind of skills and competencies the students graduating from JYU have. So that is a big important part of what we in the career services do. And then, of course, as already mentioned, we focus on the working life skills and competencies. And in this, MOVI works with the language skills, but in career services, we would like to offer students an opportunities of having contacts already during their studies to the employers, to the local firms, to the firms in Finland, to the firms internationally. So we kind of want to offer opportunities to meet and test the skills and knowledge they learn here. And then, of course, the MOVI here is a big collaborator and we are doing this together. And then in a unity of our university, so we work with the student life, we work with their services. And if, for example, if there are some learning challenges, if you need specialized coaching and things like that, personal coaching, then the student life steps in with that. No, now to Juhani. Yep. Oh, is this still mine? Sorry. Okay, so more detailed on the recognized skills and competencies. So we work with the curriculum development with the faculties, as I already mentioned. There's a thing called multi-point guidance, so we work in close collaboration with the faculty so that when the students do their personal study plans, that's the first place where they start to think about the career methods, think about the working life paths of their own. So that's where it starts. And then, of course, there's the career services, as I already mentioned, the special care from the student life. And then we offer working life studies, career courses, lectures across disciplines, and we work in close collaboration with our neighboring institutions, University of Applied Science and the vocational and second level school, Caradia. So our students can take some practical courses from, for example, the University of Applied Science in order to enhance their working life skills and competencies. So we have a close collaboration there. We also have a close collaboration with those institutions in working with the employers, in working with the stakeholders in the region. And now, Juhani.
Now it's my turn. So as it has come apparent here, I mean, working life is changing, society is changing, everything is changing. And we at MOVI were trying to respond to that or even be proactive about that. So that's why we're part in this project. We're also planning this new way of developing these multilingual and multidisciplinary working life communication and networks for the international master's degree programs, for the students, whether they be international, whether they be national, whether they, and the companies as well. So the main point, as has been mentioned here, are the sense of belonging, building networks during your studies, and also, I mean, recognizing the working life competences and the expertise that you get during your studies here, in your major studies, in the language and communication courses you're doing, and pretty much everything that you do. So you can verbalize, you can say the competences that you have, and the companies realize and get to understand, like, what are the competences that the graduate gets when they graduate from us. When we look at some of the statistics from international students, they mention these three things as obstacles or wishes for the working life. So Finnish language skills, using Finnish, then understanding the Finnish working life and building networks. Those are crucial for the international degree students. And then when you look at some of the strategy points from JYU and the Development Program for Education, it mentions, you know, the JYU identity, U-identity, which includes these intercultural communications. Then also that education offer and study module should be developed in cooperation in a multidisciplinary way. And also the last point is a bit dropped off the slide, but it says, like, we should have the working life competences and intercultural communication competences during your studies. And because of all this mix, my colleagues who were here, who have been presented, and Tuija and Johanna as well, and Peppi, of course, as the director, we started thinking about a new way of incorporating these language and communication courses into the degree programs for the international students, but also for the national students. And that is why we came up with kind of like this multilingual and multidisciplinary working life communication skills. Fergal, Hanna, you want to take this? Johanna, you want to take this picture? But the idea is that instead of having these separate, larger groups that are set for a program, we'll combine them in a multilingual, in a multidisciplinary way. So people from different disciplines get together, meet students from different disciplines, from different nationalities, and build these networks between nationalities, between programs, so they can learn from one another and kind of like explain their own expertise. Because working life today is multidisciplinary. You work with different people from different disciplines. So because of that, we're starting these new kinds of like these new modules that are working on multilingualism and also about the importance of transferring your skills that you acquire here into working life, how to work that competence. So these on the top level should be for everybody, will be for everybody in an international master's degree program, whether Finn, whether international, or as an elective for a regular student or a normal exchange student or a normal student in a regular Finnish thought program. But what is interesting there on the S2, those are the Finnish courses for the international students. So we hope that each program would have the minimum of 5 ECTS of Finnish based on the language level that the student already has. So if they come from a Finnish University of Applied Sciences, they might already have Finnish skills. So they move on to that Finnish skills. and choose the course that is corresponding. And then on these two courses, on the multilingual project course and the transferring skills, you actually use the Finnish that you learn on those courses. So you get to use the Finnish or other languages, and the Finns on that course know how to get to know and cooperate together with people using different languages on different levels. So they get to know these people, so when they enter the working force, they might not feel that intimidated anymore, but they know how to, you know, cooperate and work with people and work in a multilingual, multidisciplinary, very multiplex working life group. So that is what we're thinking about, that is what we're planning, and we feel at Movi that this is the future for the language and communication courses in the international master's degree programs. It has several benefits for the students, both Finns and international. It has several benefits for the programs. Some of them are mentioned here, that the smaller courses enable faster. You can better choose the graduation. You can choose the courses that you want to take. We cater in a more personal way. Not everybody has to do the same big course, but you can choose courses based on your own liking. And really, it creates this atmosphere that we're in it together, all of us together. And some of these courses are already planned in the music bilingual program. We are piloting in the course as well. But our hope is that in the future, this would be the future for all of the international master's degree programs. And I've contacted some of the programs, and there's going to be a special Zoom session later on this month. So everybody's been invited from the master's degree programs. But feel free to spread the message around. So if you want to join that event, you can contact me and we'll take it from there.
Excellent. And more about the possibility of building those competencies or recognizing them. So as already mentioned there are theses and study projects. For example, we in Career Services organize this multidisciplinary business project course called Team and Client, where students coming from the different disciplinary backgrounds work in a multicultural and multidisciplinary teams, and they work with the real client. So we have pre-negotiated project for the students, and then the students start to negotiate with the real employer, with the real client, on to work with in this project. And during the project, they will be able to utilize their skills, perhaps their interests and things that they are interested in, for example, their hobbies. So it doesn't necessarily need to be the topics that they've learned in their major studies or straight related to those, but it is possible to kind of explore whether my future career would be a combination of my free time activities and then the skills and knowledges I've learned in the studies. And of course, there is also an aspect of working with the students coming from the different backgrounds, different cultures, and we also, through the EduFutura collaboration, the University of the Applied Science students can participate on these courses. So as in actual working life, students will be able to work, students coming from different disciplines and different backgrounds. And then we have a JYU internship voucher, which means that we grant internship subsidy for international degree students in our university. So this is non-Finnish nationals, or sorry, my language, but this is a voucher that would enhance the employer's willingness to employ the international students in the internships. And of course, some of our programs already have subsidies for the internships, but not all of them. So this is something that is focused on the every of the international students. And then we work in various projects with our next door neighbors, with the city of Jyväskylä and with the educational neighboring educational institutions. We've been working with employers, small and medium-sized companies from the central Finland. We've been coaching them how to recruit internationally, whether it's our students or whether it's outside the Finnish borders, but we are kind of boosting their ability to employ and recruit
for example, people coming from different cultures or working with different languages and their abilities and skills to do that. So that's something we've been working with. We work in close collaboration, of course, with TEM, International Info Center, Maahanmuuttaneiden osaamiskeskus, and all the NGOs here in the region to kind of enable these connections of our students to the working life. And then, of course, Sanna here is representing the Fortum University Alliance. We have also worked with the Fortum in collaboration, for example, with the Hoksautus project. And a bit more details on the internship voucher. Internships included in the degree studies only for the paid internships. The voucher is paid to the employer after the internship, and application platform can be found in the Moodle. And if you have questions on this, please feel free to contact me. I can give you more information on this. There's also information on the university webpages.
I think the last slide is a good one. I mean, there's a lot of action going on, a lot of things happening, and kind of like in the spirit of Talent Boost, we're trying to bring it all together, bridge it all together, and find synergy and find how these different aspects and different projects and different services and different connections that we have with the programs and within the city and within the university complement each other and give the perfect package for the international talent and the national talents to gain their competences and verbalize them.
Yes, I think that was it. And if you have short questions to this part, and then we can take more on those on the end of the...
Take one question if anybody has a question, but I am also aware that you've been sat here for an hour and a half. So people, if we just have 2 minutes just to stand up as well and maybe go to the loo, and I'm not going to do a body pump with you, but... sorry about that, but you know. But we'll just have a 2 minute break. If you want to go and use the facilities, then please do so and have a little walk around, and then we'll continue. Thank you.
Yeah, with other people.
quickly, and those motivated students want to use that language in the society, but as soon as someone realizes that they're not really good with that language, they switch to English.
Yeah.
So
there's been talk about that. We should agree maybe like together, for example, that okay, let's try to use more Finnish and then take someone who is not that comfortable with it. If they say that okay, maybe now we should switch to English, then we do it. But yeah, it's true that it didn't ever enter someone. Struggle a little bit in Finnish or something.
Okay, everybody, we can take our seats again, please. Okay, everybody, if we continue with sub-project number 3, and I can welcome Tuija ja Marita onto stage.
Okay, good morning everyone. I think there might be some new participants joining this session during the morning, so I will introduce myself first again. So my name is Marita Häkkinen. I work in a team of international student admission, and in this Talent Boost project, we are responsible for this sub-project number 3. The name is now here in Finnish, which is very normal to our functions. We do our work bilingually and also multilingually. So korkeakoulutettu ja korkeakoulukelpoisten maahanmuuttajien koulutus- ja urapolkujen kehittäminen. And then I have a little note in English, so developing education and career paths for highly educated and higher education eligible migrants. And then I have a colleague here. So maybe you can introduce yourself and then also our lovely panel.
My name is Tuija Lehtonen, and as I said, I work for the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication. In the beginning, I tried to set something else, but that's really my place to be, MOVI. And we have also 3 guests here who's been taking part of our not project, because we've been working since 2018 already, so before Talent Boost. And we are doing this presentation bilingually, both in Finnish and English. And first of all, I would like to introduce our guests. So, keitä te olette ja mitä teette tällä hetkellä? Ja you can answer in Finnish or English, however you prefer.
Tervehdys, mun nimi on Fati ja mä oon asunut Suomessa noin 4,5 vuotta. Tällä hetkellä mä työskentelen IT-alalla tietoturvakonsulttina isossa IT-talossa ja samalla suoritan kyberturvallisuuden maisteriohjelmajankissa työn ohessa. Ja mä asun täällä perheen kanssa, mun perheeseen kuuluu 2 söpötyttöä ja mun vaimo. Meitä on 4. Joo.
Jo. Mä oon Hassan. Mä oon Hassan. Anteeksi. Mä oon Hassan. Olen türkkiläinen. Muutin Suomen noin 4,5 vuotta ja olen opiskelemassa tällä hetkellä maisterin ohjelmassa matematiikka ja samalla olen opiskelemassa koulutusteknologia ja haluaisin työskennellä matematiikan opettajana täällä, koska työskentelin Türkissä kaksi toista vuotta matematiikan opettajana. Haluan vielä kerran. Ja tällä hetkellä minulla ei ole opettajan pätevyys ja yritän tehdä vielä kerran. Kiitos.
Moi, mä oon Jukina, mä oon japanilainen. Mä muutin Suomen 4 vuotta sitten. Kuuletko? Noniin. Mä oon taiteilijana. Mä oon japanilainen kalligrafin taiteilijana. Ne nukuekan mä työskentelen avustajaksi Maritan kanssa ja projekti on Fit for Them. Ja myös mä sain taiteilijan apuraha, joka on taike, ja mä työskentelen itse taiteilijaksi myös. Mutta rahan takia avustaja on tosi auttaa minulle rahassa. Hello, my name is Yukina Yamamoto. I moved to Finland for 4 years ago, and I'm an artist, Japanese calligraphy artist, but I'm working with the Marita Hakkinen for Fit for Them project as assistant, and as well as I received scholarship as an artist. So I'm working with as artist as well as assistant nowadays. Thank you.
Maybe in English. Maybe in English I can introduce myself as well. My name is Fatih and I have been living in Finland about 4.5 years. Currently I'm working as a cybersecurity consultant in IT field, and at the same time I'm studying cybersecurity master of engineering program alongside with work.
Kiitos, thanks a lot. So Marita, please tell more about our project.
Okay, thanks Tuija and thanks Vati, Hasan and Jukina. Okay, first I will tell a little bit about the SIMHE services at JYU. SIMHE comes from the words supporting immigrants in higher education in Finland. And this is the kind of other part of this sub-project number 3. And we actually started it services or this work in the university in 2016. And first it was a pilot project. Currently it's not a project anymore, though we are sort of settled under the Talent Boost projects. Since 2017, SIMHE services were kind of integrated with our regular admission services by the student and academic services. And in this service, we also collaborate very closely, for example, with our international services, career services. And of course, during these years now, within the Talent Boost projects, let's say like the development functions have strengthened a lot. Jyväskylä University is not the only one, so there are also 10 or 9 other higher education institutions in Finland who are implementing SIMHE services, 4 universities and 6 universities of applied sciences, and we are kind of spread all over the country, so it also the aim is to kind of guarantee also the regional, like the so that the services are available regionally also, with a slightly sort of varying profiles in each institutions. And as the name said already, so the main target groups are highly educated persons, those who are eligible for higher education, who are looking for study options, or who are looking for options to go on with their academic careers and the professions in Finland. Okay, you can also understand that since 2015-16, there have been more people coming also from areas where have been under some kind of crisis. So many of the people who are looking for the SIMHE guidance to higher education in Finland may have the like international protection background. And I'm also actually involved with Integra training that Tuija will tell you more about soon. And I'm mostly involved with the guidance functions of Integra. And we actually started this week actually pre-Integra program for those who have been forced to leave Ukraine due to the current attack. And then I also cooperate quite closely, for example, with the employment services of the city of the Jyväskylä, different kind of supportive activities for migrants and highly educated migrants living in this area. Yeah, I've been tracking this like the numbers of the, let's say, like counselees annually. Ministry of Education also requires this sort of statistics, and it's been more or less 100 counselors per year who have been sort of involved with the SIMHE guidance, but many actually come many times, so it's not necessary so that the counselors only come like once, but they may also like there may also exist this kind of a little bit like longer guidance relationship or this kind of communication with the counselee. And recently I've been happy to cooperate with a colleague, Anna Pylväläinen. Anna works also as a coordinator in my unit, and that actually has made it possible to also offer our services not only in Finnish and English, but also in Russian. And Anna understands also Ukrainian, which has been like very big benefit during these days, as you can understand. Yeah, we've been also developing quite a bit our sort of digital availability of the services, for example, in terms of launching a point like a calendar, electronical calendar, where the counselors can book their time for the guidance. And then also Anna has developed this chatbot Minerva. We are actually launching that as well. And different kinds of development activities. This photo illustrates just in brief. I think maybe I've said already many of these things, but illustrates the sort of main elements of the SIMHE work. So we offer guidance and counseling also for different professional groups. We do collaborate with the networks regionally and also nationwide very closely. We also participate in the development of the admission criteria, for example, in terms of the language criteria, and of course, like for better practices, sort of continuous development. I think you will hear today more from our alumni from Integra, so it will be very interesting to hear also. And that is one part, so it doesn't really end, for example, when the students finish the Integra program, they can still continue cooperation with us. Okay.
Thank you. So Integra has been mentioned many times during this event, and just very briefly what Integra is. So Integra is a 9-month program for highly educated immigrants who have completed or are qualified for higher education. And why we are under the talent boost, because the students who we are working with, they are talents and they are already living in Finland. But something is missing when they are applying to our program. Maybe the main reason is the Finnish language skills, which was meant in the beginning, why it's so hard to find, for example, work in Finland or study place. So this is a language program, and it's 90 to 95 ECTs, and it's organized by MOVI and coordinated by MOVI. But like said, SIMHE is also a very crucial part of Integra training, because all the counseling is coming from SIMHE, as well as a big part of this recruitment process when we are starting our application rounds yearly. And then the Open University is our third important partner here, because the Open University offers discipline studies for the students. The main idea here is some kind of a new way of teaching languages. So we are not just teaching languages as languages, but we are integrating language studies, Finnish, but as well English, to academic skills and students' own study discipline. Also the counseling will be and is in Finnish. So the language is kind of a tool that we are using all the time, whatever we are doing, and exercises we are doing are always somehow related to university or the university life or the participants' own discipline or the ways of working at the university. The training is free and can also serve as self-motivated integration training, which means that the students can have unemployment benefit during the training. We started 2017, and OKM founded first 4 years. Under that, we have worked under the Talent Boost. We are seeing training as a part of immigrants' continuous learning. It's not something isolated. It's a very important part, like any other professional. You want to become, you want to develop yourselves. So we are seeing the Integra as a part of this continuous learning, where we see that our students and participants have their previous education, all the wonderful language resources they have, but also working life experiences from different countries and working life cultures. And now they are here in our new society where we are working. And when they come and enter the Integra, we start with mapping their needs and objectives, what Marita is doing, basically. And then our students can also have their own discipline-specific content studies in English or in Finnish. So the Integra is kind of a combination of study counseling, language studies, students' own studies, and academic skills, which are integrated with each other. And the main idea is that we are working here in the university environment, because that's where you can have the sense of belonging and be part of this academic society, which is very important, we think. And very briefly, so this is 24 ECTs in Finnish, 6 ECTs in English on students' own level, 5 ECTs study counseling, and 5 to 10 ECT subject studies on one's own field. And the program is from 6 to 7 periods, and each period is related to somehow university studies, life in working life, or academic texts and research and so on. So we are not teaching the language, we are teaching things under these themes. And each period is one theme which is needed when you are working in an academic working life or studying in Finland. But now, I know we are very tight, but I think with our most important people are here, our alumni students. And I just would like to ask one question from each of them. They can answer in Finnish or English, however they choose. And I just would like to, we would just like to you to tell, what do you think you have benefited from Integra, or have you benefited at all, actually?
Mä opiskelin Integrassa vuonna 2020 helmikuusta joulukuun asti. Ja Integra oli mun ensimmäinen suomen kielen kurssi, ja mä opiskelin ja opin suomen kieltä Integrassa. Ja sen jälkeen esimerkiksi mä pääsin opiskelemaan kyberturvallisuutta taidannuskoulutuksessa Jamkissa. Ja se ohjelma oli suomeksi. Esimerkiksi mun opiskelijoilmassa siitä oli paljon hyötyä minulle. Ja tällä hetkellä mä työskentelen ihan suomeksi. Mä käytän suomen kieltä mun työelämässäkin. Ja viimeiseksi voi sanoa, että mä opiskelen Jamkissa kyberturvallisuutta maisteriohjelmassa, ja se ohjelma on englanniksi, se on KV-ohjelma. Ja mä käytän vielä esimerkiksi Academic Literacy Skills and Advanced Academic Literacy Skills englanninkielisiä kursseja ja tällaisia taitojakin siellä. Ja ehkä lyhyesti mä voin sanoa, että mä käytän sitä hirveästi mun elämässä tällä hetkellä, ja koska ennen Integra mä en opiskellut suomen kieltä. Ja se on semmoinen lyhyesti. Mä voisin kertoa englanniksi. Integra was my first Finnish language course in Finland, and I have been using my this Finnish language skills in different ways. For example, I'm working in Finnish language right now, and also I studied cybersecurity at Yonk in Finnish language, but just as I mentioned before, I'm currently studying in cybersecurity master of engineering program. It's an international program, and I'm using the academic literacy skills and my English language skills in this program. And thanks to Marita, I took always enough guidance from Marita, because even we have an academic background from our countries, or we are highly educated people, but the things are quite different in Finland, and it's important to get enough guidance in this process, and it's very important in all steps, I think. Thank you.
Opiskelin matka korkea koulussa erityisesti maahanmuuttajille on tosi vaikea ja tosi monimutkainen. Sen takia tarvitsemme aina apua. Ehkä voin sanoa, Simhe auttaa minua ensin tästä asiasta, koska esimerkiksi yliopistossa tarvitsen ymmärtää, tarvitsen tietää, mitä on seuraavaksi, mutta minulla ei ole idea tästä asiasta, koska täällä on uusi systeemi on tosi erilainen Suomessa, ja itse asiassa minä olin opiskelemassa yliopistossa 2000 alussa, eli 20 vuotta sitten. Sen takia minulla on vähän pelko. Esimerkiksi matematiikka on vaikea. 20 vuoden jälkeen ehkä voi tehdä, mutta en voi tehdä. Sen takia minulla on tosi paljon pelko, mutta Integrassa sain matematiikan kurssi. Sen takia tuli mieleen, voin tehdä tämä. Sen takia ja sen jälkeen menen suoraan tällä hetkellä. Toinen asia, ehkä paljon edessä on paljon esteitä. Sen takia tarvitsemme uusia mahdollisuuksia, ja voin sanoa toiseksi, Simhe Antanet minulle, tai Integra Antanet minulle uusia mahdollisuuksia minun opiskelumatkassa. Kiitos.
No niin. No ehkä mä puhun englanniksi. Se on monikieltä. So, I was in Integra for Integra 3. So, 2 years ago, 2 vuotta sitten. Yeah. So, everything was online for our group. I and Hassan was same group. So, it was really difficult in the beginning. It was really difficult to study through the computer, because before I was studying in Finnish languages, but it was in the face-to-face. But all of a sudden become everything computer, and it was new, and it's new student, new classmate, but we could not see each other. That was really hard, but I think we did very well. Yeah. And then teacher.
Yeah, you did, because it was the COVID. We yes. started the program, and after a week we had to shut everything down.
Yes.
So it was quite a disappointment for all of us.
So my goal before I started Integra was like develop my network and language skills, academic skills, as well as learning Finnish culture, because I'm from Japan, and then really, really, really different culture. And then perspective. Like, I couldn't understand what does it mean, what Finnish people are thinking about it, why they think, why they say. I didn't understand what does it mean, this gesture, what does the communication meaning in this country? Like, it's really different. So through the Integra, I learned how to communicate, how to understand Finnish culture and perspective, and also history, and then everything that I learned, like before I study Finnish language, but that was only Finnish language, not like those kind of behavior and culture and background. So that was really, I really appreciate this Integra course. And of course, Finnish language was great, because it did not focus on the like puhuko, puhu, perusmoton puhua, se on jose on mina. It's not like that. It's like a more academic way of learning. And then because of that, I start apply all the artist work in Finnish. And because of that, I received this scholarship now. So I didn't apply in English. I apply everything in Finnish. And then it worked. I think it's not because of the Finnish languages. It's also I learned Finnish languages and how to write Finnish way, and then to understand jury what I want to do in the future. So this kind of things, I really appreciate that. And then also, of course, now I used to work in university as admission center. So I wanted to develop my networks in university. I really like to work in university, so now I'm happy that I'm working with Marita. So there was really like my goal. I think most of the I was planning for my goal, achieved my goal through the Integra. So I really appreciate Tuija and Marita and Johanna, my opettaja. Thank you.
And I want to something. Very, very briefly, and I agree with my friend. And we learned Finnish language in academic context, and it's very important in our working life as well, because we are constantly doing presentations to our customers, for example, and just writing reports in Finnish language, and it's important to learn in academic context. And thanks to our all teachers again. Thank you.
Now, next.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next we're on to straight into subproject number 4, a familiar face. We've got 21 minutes left in this room, so we'll make use of all of those 21 minutes.
Yes, thanks, Mike. And as you can see, I'm not Maria, I'm not Sari, but I am from Movi, Juhani from Movi again, and I'm working also in sub-project 4, part of it, which is focusing on the developing services for international staff and their families. And this is kind of like from the project description or our website, that is a better JYU for you. What's the, I can't remember now, the slogan of our famous website, but that will come in probably in the material, in the promotion. But here are the goals for the sub-project 4. So focusing on the international talent staff, spouses and families. And we're doing this, the International Staff Services is coordinating, but in close cooperation with Movi and our Finnish and English teachers as well. But these are basically the main goals. But I'm going to start off with, I mean, Finnish being the key into the integration here into the university and into the society as well. So one of the things that we have done during this project is that we have enabled, or the possibility has arisen, that Finnish courses should be included into the work plans of the new international staff from the get-go, because they get filled up fairly quickly, and suddenly you see it's been several years and you haven't had time to focus on the Finnish language skills. And in the university setting, you can get by with English skills perfectly manageable. But for the integration, for the living and for the life outside of the university, then the Finnish skills are quite crucial. So that's why this has been a great handout from the programs, from the faculties, that they have agreed to set time in the working plan for the beginning, for the Finnish classes as well. There is project work, there is teaching, there is research, but please do reserve time for the Finnish skills. And I think it's great that the faculties have acknowledged this important aspect as well. Movi offers staff courses in the Finnish language, and now for the Movi staff courses, also spouses can participate in the language courses. So you can bring your spouse along and learn together, which makes it even more fun, so you can practice at home. So, well, you know, bring happy home, happy house, and happy Finnish language skills under one house. And that is now done in intranet and registration for the staff members and their spouses as well. So nobody is excluded. But the staff members, the staff courses are basic Finnish and work your way. So they're on two levels. But if you have advanced skills, then of course we encourage the staff members that they can participate in the student courses with a separate study right now. I know some of them might feel hesitant to go and study together with the students, but once again, it's a great way also to get a little bit of feel what the students are feeling like, and get a little bit of the way that Movi is doing our language teaching. So you might get inspiration from that one as well. But these have been the basic guidance that we have, or offered that we have had. But within Talent Boost, we started to think about a different way to organize these. Because like I said, Finnish language is the key to the integration. But integration needs to happen as well. And that is why we joined up with the Malteco Faculty of Mathematics and Science. Is it that one? Yeah. And decided to do a different kind of like a project with them, on a faculty-specific language course, where we have the language learning brought to the faculty, brought to the surroundings, and brought to their environment. But then there needs to be the integration into the work community that happens within the faculty. So Movi comes with the language teaching part and using the Finnish language, and then the faculty would take responsibility of this integrating these people and the staff better into the community by using Finnish. Once again, the Finns get to familiarize with these, with the people that are not perhaps speaking Finnish as their native tongue, and the ones who are learning Finnish get to use the Finnish and not automatically switch into English. So we had the language classes, but then we had a lot of informal events as well, where we were encouraging people to interact and use the Finnish language. Some of these informal events were organized by Movi, some of them were organized by the faculty, and they were open to everyone. So that was kind of like a nice way to go about it. And we also interviewed potential participants into this one. So kind of like in Simhe, we also gave guidance to them, like, okay, your Finnish skills are on this level, perhaps you should take this course, or join the pilot, or get some skills before that. So it kind of gave this feeling once again of nurture, that people are really paying attention to me and taking care of me and listening to me and looking, meeting me as a person and caring for me. So this has been an interesting case study and a pilot at this faculty. And then the creation part, informal events using Finnish and then also learning Finnish in your setting within that faculty. But there have been some obstacles, of course. I mean, difficulty to find a suitable time for the course is always a bit iffy. And then the informal events are a good platform to use the languages, but also participation to those is difficult to find time to attract. And faculties and colleagues still feel a bit hesitant about it. Even though they participate in these informal events, sometimes it switches automatically into English, so we need to be aware of that. But this pilot is continuing. We're continuing with the Faculty of Mathematics and Science. And the next up this autumn, we're starting with the Jyväskylä School of Business and Economics, a similar pilot with them. So once again, the integration and the use of Finnish into this community so that we can all feel at home with each other and participate in these informal events and use Finnish and our other language skills to get to know one another a bit better. But this is what MOVI has been doing with the language teaching. And then services for the international spouses and families, like I said, they can join in on the Finnish courses. But the international staff service is welcoming always the international family members as well, giving them guidance, giving their information, and combining in the spirit of Talent Boost, combining our energies and efforts with the City Info Center and the Expertise Center for Immigrants. So we guide, or international staff services guide and cooperate with these services so that they get service for the spouses from this different, from the city as well, and answering their question, because the university international staff services cannot answer all the questions. They have some expertise. So joining forces, joining efforts and creating synergy once again to create this kind of like international University of Jyväskylä and international Jyväskylä as well, which is a nice bridge to sub-project number 5, right? Hey, not yeah, thanks. Not 21 minutes, but that's me.
Impressive.
Yeah, of course, you can ask a question, yeah.
Thank you. That's really interesting. So last year, I took a course for employees, like a Finnish course for employees, yep, which was great. But I also took a course or an activity offered by the sports faculty. And it was for employees of the university who wanted to like train every week with people. And there was an international group, so I went into that one. And we had this amazing instructor, this Finnish PhD teacher, PhD student. And the whole time I was thinking, like, we should be doing this in Finnish. Yeah. So have you ever considered like courses or activities with the sports faculty or doing some sort of activity that wasn't strictly learning Finnish but applying it to a different context?
Well, yo, that is what the integration is to. Oh, sorry, yo.
Can I briefly just answer that? Because in 2013, I developed a course for Lee Kunter for the sports and health faculty, which was doing exactly that. So I was doing an introduction course to fitness instruction in the gym and trying to do it multilingually, try to do it bilingually in Finnish and English. So that kind of was done in 2013, but you can take over.
No, yeah, that is done. And I think you're referring to the You Move. I mean, the Spark.
Yeah, but maybe it was part of
You Move. You Move could be, because they have, I mean, they, yeah, this is a, well, they have the Finnish courses as well, but they have the international courses as well. And that's something, that's a very good point to be brought up with. I can take it forward to Sari and then perhaps to the You Move that, you know, why not? I mean, it's not, it's not rocket science, but but still a very good, yeah, idea. And that is the spirit of these informal events, that you can use these languages and, you know, in this relaxed, not in a classroom setting, but, you know, in interaction and in connection to one another. So yeah, a really good idea. Now then I'll pass forward to Sari and then perhaps to You Move, and maybe next year we'll have several of these multilingual sports classes, Spark or by Michael.
Yeah, I'll get the shorts back on. I think Spark, was it a PhD research project maybe? Yeah, so that's why. Yeah. Anyway, any more questions? No. Excellent. Fantastic. We shall move on. You've heard the important stuff. So now it's moving on to things that you've heard some of this anyway already in the previous 4 sub-projects, because each one of those 4 sub-projects have talked about their interaction with each other and then the interaction with other agencies and institutions and organizations. So the sub-project number 5 creating a regional talent hub operating model in the city is what I'm going to talk about for the next 2.5 hours. Lock the doors. So first thing to answer, the first question is, what is a talent hub? And again, I'm starting from the basics. I'm going to give you a whistle-stop tour. This is going to be quick, so strap yourselves in, and you can ask any questions later. I'll hang around. But a talent hub is basically the regional implementation of the Talent Boost project. And if you're looking at the Talent Boost project as a multi-agency project or a multi-organizational project, then this is what a talent hub is all about, is bringing those agencies, organizations, institutions together under one umbrella to try and get them working together, to try and get them cooperating and collaborating, or even communicating with each other. So there's an understanding between all these different agencies and actors and services, and those services and actions can take place in a coordinated manner. It's a geographical thing as well, so it's a regional thing, or it's a city-based regional operational tool. So if you look around the country, then there are talent hubs being established in different regions and centred on different cities, Tampere, Helsinki, Espoo, Vantaa, Oulu, Vaasa, being the prime examples of that. Again, if I go back to this that I showed you earlier, then the talent hub is epitomised by this here. So this is a talent hub, all these hands joining together from the different organisations within a regional or geographical boundary to provide services in a collaborative and coordinated manner. A disclaimer here, we don't have the national funding available to us that is available to other 5 major cities in Finland. So those 5 cities are Espoo, Helsinki, Tampere, Turku and Vantaa. They all get funding from TEM to implement talent hub operation model within their city and region. It's based upon an arbitrary figure of 15,000 non-Finnish speaking residents. That's how they class internationals. So if there are 15,000 non-Finnish speaking residents within that municipality, then you can apply for the funding from TEM. And we're talking about a lot of money. So for example, Helsinki in the 22-23 year received over €1 million for implementation of a talent hub. We don't get that. So what we are doing, please keep in mind, is we are trying to take pre-existing services, we're trying to take pre-existing budgets, we're looking at how things already work, and we're trying to bring those together in a collaborative manner and use money which already exists and use project money to do these things from various different projects. So that's my disclaimer. So why are we talking about a talent hub here at the university? Because I've just said that other municipalities are responsible for talent hubs. But if you look on the bottom right-hand corner of that screen, if we go through the process that we've talked about earlier regarding the funding and the strategic funding to the university, then there is a very important add-on at the end of that funding, which says that in addition, individual higher education institutions will receive funding to strengthen and support regional talent hub activities. So that's what we are doing, and that's how this sub-project fits across all the other 4 sub-projects to create that outreach aspect of what we're doing here at the university. If we go back to the Talent Boost program and look at the objectives that I stated earlier, then what we're doing is looking at each of those objectives and then putting talent hub actions into place using all our partners and using different organizations, using resources which are already available and trying to tweak resources and trying to make sure that those resources and those organizations work in parallel with each other and collaborate with each other according to the same values and the same principles and hitting certain targets. And if we do that, then what we're trying to create ultimately is truly an international Jyväskylä. But also a talent hub is a regional thing as well. So we need to think about services centred on the city, but then there needs to be access to those services from the region and from the smaller municipalities. So the basis of all this, again, is going back to this talent attraction model. We are in the centre of that talent attraction model as far as an ecosystem is concerned, of developing an ecosystem. And remember the word ecosystem, because that's going to be on the last slide. So hopefully I'll take you from this point of theoretically what it is to the point of it actually being in place here in the city and the region of Keski-Suomi of central Finland. So what we're doing is taking a national theory. The politicians talk a load of rubbish and say we want to do this. And then we're going, yeah, okay, we'll implement this theoretical talent hub in a regional model. And then what we do is make it work. We make an operational model. We take the pre-existing services and make sure that they are operating and they have the money to operate and they have the people and the resources. And then the target groups are identified and the customers are identified. And then together we bring all those things together to create this ecosystem and to create a landscape of services and a city which is accepting and a city which is belonging, which ensures that people feel as if they belong here, ultimately. So to answer some questions there on the left-hand side is, what is it? What is a talent hub? It's all of those things. And what that does is brings all those multi-agencies together on a city and regional level to meet those three talent boost objectives. And they are measured using 7 talent boost program measures. And then what we're trying to do and what we ensure is that we're not creating bureaucracy, we're minimizing bureaucracy, and we create service efficiency. It's clear for the customers, and those customers are the international talent and their family members, their partners, and everybody that comes along with them, but also internationally minded Finns as well, because they are the international population as well as the non-Finns. So we're creating clarity, a one-stop shop, if you like, pathways, the magic word, pathways. This isn't a short-term thing. It is a project, but it's not a project. This is a long-term thing. And as you've heard in the other 4 sub-projects, things existed before Talent Boost and things will exist after Talent Boost. So this is, we're ensuring that we have legacy here. We're ensuring that what we develop is not only going to end suddenly at the end of 2024, it's going to have legs and it's going to continue in the long term. And what my job is to bring these groups or these sectors together. So we are there in the higher education institutions doing what we do. We work together with YAMC. We collaborate with them as much as we can on certain things regarding internationalization. We work with the municipality, with the city of Jyväskylä, the newly formed International Jyväskylä. We bring businesses into this, into the fold, and try to develop businesses and try to ensure that they are not only aware of this internationalization work that's taking place, but they are a key partner in it and they drive internationalization themselves. And then, of course, we talk to the third sector and NGOs, because they are the voice of the communities at the end of the day. How it looked several months ago is a very disparate situation within the region and within the city, is that there was lots of projects taking place, lots of work taking place, but being done by individual organisations and no real collaboration. Some collaboration, but not real whole collaboration between all these different organisations. And again, I go to them with this talent attraction model and say, what are you doing as far as attraction is concerned? What are you doing as far as integration is concerned? Okay, this project that you're doing is really concerned with education and integration, whereas what you're doing is really concerned with building the reputation of the city. If we work together on that, then we can meet all the targets and all the goals. So again, we are working here in the center of this, and we are bringing all these people together to make them really understand what each other is doing and help them work together in a coordinated manner. And again, we create this thing called International Jyväskylä. So International Jyväskylä is now the brand of the unit of the city's services, which is concerned with everything that is international. And what that basically does is work in a systematic way. And this is what we're trying to reinforce, is that if we have in that orange box the whole group of international talent, and we have our customer base, they enter into the system, which is the black box. And within that system, we're trying to do all of those things of educate people, give cultural integration, societal integration, give training to people, give support to people, basic information, skills, abilities. And then according to their own individual needs, then they enter into a service pathway. And those service pathways are there at the bottom in the orange boxes. And then they can move through each of those service pathways and move backwards and forwards, so that we end up with a happy person in the bottom right-hand corner there, who then can re-enter the system at any point. If they go through an education system and they are a student and then they suddenly graduate and go, what am I going to do now? Then they can re-enter into that system as a non-student, as a graduate, as an alumni. We've done a lot of benchmarking, and these are the things which have been highlighted as being important. We have those 1, 2, 3 basic key principles that we want to ensure are included, or the basis for every service package that we develop. What we're trying to do is internationalize existing operations, because yet again, I come back to the funding issue, but that isn't the only issue. is that why reinvent the model? If something already exists, we don't want to reinvent something else which is doing the same thing but has that international tag on it. We just want to internationalize the pre-existing services and the pre-existing landscape. We need to make sure that businesses take responsibility for their own actions as far as international operation is concerned. And then it's all about networks. And if there's something that we can do which develops social networks, cultural networks, professional networks for the international population and the internationally minded Finnish population, then that's what we do. And then we create this ecosystem, which is all of those points at the bottom. So this is where it gets a bit speedy. I'm going to run you through the process so far in the 2 minutes that we have left. I'm not expecting you to absorb all the words that's going to be on the screen, but I will be asking questions later. So this is where we are at the moment. Frank asked about the timescale. From 21 to 24, we have to treat this as a project. So this is where we are in the project scheme. These are the steps that we've gone through so far. I don't know why I'm saying we, I should say I, but these are the steps that I have gone through to reach those targets up to this point of having that thing in the bottom left-hand corner of something called Talent Central. And that is the ecosystem. Talent Central is the ecosystem which fits into the gap that is pre-existing, that's existed in the city and the region. Central for Central Finland. So, strap yourselves in, here we go. We had this. A couple of years ago, we had ourselves on the right-hand side there as higher education institutions. We had the city and the municipality there on the left-hand side. We had this gap in the middle with lots of stuff happening. ELY-keskus, TE-toimisto, different regional educational operations going on, individually, independent of each other. What we did is try to formalize these things into these three separate groups or units of services, which then can start working with each other and understanding each other. So what the city did is take their pre-existing services and bring them together into a unit of international uvascular and branded it so. So we have clarity. It's reaching that target of clarity for the end user. What we're doing working with YAMC is trying to make sure that we understand each other's talent boost operations. And they are very different, but they also reflect each other. And we work together to make sure that we communicate with each other at least. So the international student in the city has a similar experience no matter whether they are studying at YAMC or they're studying with us at JYU. And we are building links between opportunities for those students. And then in the centre we have Talent Central, which is bringing everything else together and being the administrative body for the ecosystem. And that's where the things hopefully fit into that tripartite model. If we look at those services, then this is how those services were administered. This is the bureaucracy that was involved in all of this. And these are all individual working groups, steering groups, networks that were meeting on a regular basis, talking basically about the same thing and talking about the same thing independently and not talking to really each other. So what I had to do is map what the links were between all of these different things. And this is what I came up with. Two people sit in there, also sit on that. Three people sit in there, also sit in that room and talk to those people. But they don't talk to those people, so those people don't know what they are doing. And this was the kind of mess that we were in. And this is the kind of mess that I'm trying to solve. So the solution that we've come together with the great people at the city and ELY-keskus, is that we have this big block here who talk to each other. We have that big block there who talk to each other. And we have the centre, which is now organised into Talent Central. We brought three or four main networks together to sit in one room together, disbanded those old networks so that there is actual clear communication and collaboration between all of the pre-existing services. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is an ecosystem. Just in case you're interested as well, this, as far as a project is concerned, is the work streams that I am working on for this project. At the bottom, we have AIR, which spells, anybody? Air, correct. I can't say air because I'm from the north of England, so I say air. But it's air. So what does air provide? It provides oxygen, and we all need oxygen to survive. So what I'm trying to say is that in that colour-coded thing at the bottom, we are providing air for the international talent to breathe and survive. So attraction, integration, retention, AIR. So each of those work streams is targeted at either attracting international people to the city and the region, integrating them, and retaining them. And that's currently how it's being done. Boom. Any questions from anybody? No questions. Everybody wants to get out of here. So please, if you do have any questions, you know where we are. You know our contact details. If you don't know our contact details, then please feel free to ask at the back of the room. If everybody is okay, I thank you all for being here. We do have to get out of the room because the wise people are entering. We don't want to get in their way. So thank you very much for the presenters who have been up on this stage doing a great job. Thank you all to the audience. Thanks for coming. I hope you've learned something. I hope that you've been enlightened, and hope to see you all again. Thanks very much.